Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello, you are listening to the Dork Forest with Jackie Cation. I, coincidentally enough, am Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you enjoy a determiner. The Dork Forest is a podcast that's on all the platforms, your iTunes, and then I populate it over to YouTube. It's on Stitcher and Pandora and Spotify, but wherever you listen to podcasts, hopefully it makes it available in 1,000 different ways. It is November, and I'll also use this for December. This month, I ask that you not donate to the Dork Forest. If you want to support the Dork Forest, you can. You can order from Amazon using the tiny link that just takes you to Amazon and you order like normal. You can buy merch on the store page on JackieCation.com. You can go to the Bandcamp DorkForest.com and buy extra episodes and stories and stuff if you like to do that. You can come and see me do stand-up comedy, at which my tour is all over JackieCation.com. And in November and December, I'm actually on the road quite a bit, including Minneapolis and Madison, Wisconsin. So those are my... But don't donate. Don't use the PayPal button to donate. And if you're doing it monthly, know that your donation will be going to the LA Food Bank. Because what I ask is that you don't donate to the Dork Forest in November and December, and instead donate to your local food bank. Go to feedingamerica.com if you are in the United States. Put in your zip code, and it'll tell you your local food bank. Or you can just Google the words food bank and the name of your town. That happens all over the world. You can do that anywhere in the world. But just for these 2 months, help people around you. That's all I'm saying. Other than that, we should do the credits. Yes, Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with Sarah Cohen, his wife, and he will sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady fixes this audio, and Vilmos, still fixing JackieCation.com, bless his heart. Anyway, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm back in my living room. I just recorded one this morning with Danielle Perez. You heard it last week, but this week, it's with Mary Basmadjian. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
That's right. That's because you're Armenian and I'm Armenian. And Basmadjian is a great Armenian name. Well played.
Thank you.
And so you're a comic here in Los Angeles, and it's at MaryB_comedian mm-hmm. on Twitter and at Mary6B. At MaryB66 on Instagram.
626.
626?
Yes.
As in the area code?
Yes, girl. I didn't know. Yeah.
Oh, well played.
When I created the Instagram, yeah.
You were like,
Pasadena rep.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very Brody Stevens. Very sweet. Very sweet. And you're going to be in Las Vegas on December 29th, which may or may not be right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where in Vegas?
That's What's a good question.
Right. So go to her Instagram.
Yeah.
MaryB626 and check it out. You're welcome to the Dork Forest.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure. What the heck, right? You had two things, neither of which anyone has talked about here on the Dork Forest. Let's start with for me, it's easier for me to get there because you have giant nails.
Yes.
You enjoy a fingernail fancy fingernail.
Yeah, I love nails. I work for my friend a couple days a week at her nail salon, and I really enjoy it.
So you do people's nails?
I don't. I work a front desk, but I want to learn. I want to learn how to do it and maybe
and you get
have
to
a side
see
hustle.
Them, yeah, and see the magic that is happening. Is it magical?
I feel like it is. The chemicals just all... I mean, it might be just the chemicals getting to our heads, to be honest, now that I think about it.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, could be. So, yeah. So what is... I mean, what's the draw? When did it happen? What's it all about?
It happened when one of my friends opened up a salon. I've always liked it. My grandma actually gave me my first $20 to get it done when I was in middle school.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. She was like, I walked to it because it was close to my house.
Right.
And my uncle sat next to me to make...
Oh, I touched a thing, which means that we couldn't hear, but it's still recording.
Okay, cool.
But that was done.
My uncle sat next to me while they did my nails to make sure I didn't get them super long and ratchet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like, no, cut it, you know?
Oh, so you could...
He was like, you could get it, but I have to be there to make sure...
That you're not getting, like, core nails or something?
Yeah, I guess.
What's happening?
I know. That was in middle school.
Oh, because you got, like, fake nails put on you.
Yes. Yes, it was acrylic fake nails, which at first my grandma and uncle were okay with me getting my nails done. They thought it was manicure. And then when they found out I want to get the fake ones, that includes chemicals and everything, they were like, no, your uncle's going to go with you and he's going to sit next to you while they do it.
Okay, so that they see what you pick.
Yeah.
So you're not picking vampire nails or some damn thing.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he paid for it. He was like, he was cool with it.
Because
like,
$20 isn't going to cover fake nails, is it?
Back acrylic? Then it did.
Oh, okay.
Right. It was a small, like, kind of rundown nail shop, to be honest. So
that's fine.
Back in the day.
Sure. And quite honestly, nails here in Los Angeles are cheaper than anywhere. Cheaper than New York?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I got a pedicure in New York that cost me $98.
That's so much money. I will go for a mani-pedi and then sometimes get the big wax of my eyebrows and my face. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing will cost me like $60 with tip.
Yeah.
And but I usually, like my nails, I just want them to clean them up.
Yeah.
And then I like them buffed like a man.
Okay.
Because if I do that, they chip and stuff.
They
the acrylic lasts.
Acrylics last, but the gel polish.
Yeah.
If you were to put gel polish, it would last a lot longer, and the shine would be on it a lot longer.
Oh, interesting.
Those don't usually chip. And
like 2 or 3 weeks, or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It goes until like your nail is growing out, and then you go and get it again.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or filled.
Filled. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's start with a basic manicure. Did you ever get one of those?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. And where they just clean you up and then they paint your nails?
And I like those.
Yeah. Do you like painting your own nails when you were a kid?
I did, but I would always mess up my left hand. Wait,
of
my
course.
Right hand.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so messy. It was so messy. Yeah.
Well, of course it would be because, of course, dominant hand.
Yeah.
But so you go, and right now you have enormously long. And are they acrylic?
They are acrylic.
What are the different choices? Yeah.
Yeah, you want me to break it down for you?
Break it down,
I'm going to break it down for you.
Please do. Please freaking
do. And mind you, I'm not a nail tech, so I might not know the other ways as well. But
sure.
There's a regular manicure where they just clean your cuticles and they put a regular nail polish and you got to dry it off with like a little fan or whatever that it is. The good old-fashioned way. And then there is, they clean your cuticles and you get a manicure, but it's with the gel polish, which they put a gel manicure on your nails and then you put it in this like machine thingy that dries it, because the gel polish has to dry under that special black
like
light. Yes.
Oh, it has to dry under the black light?
Yes, it has to dry under that black light. And that's what, like, it really hardens it and it stays. And after you take it out, you don't have to wait for it to dry. You can go do whatever, which is initially what attracted me to it.
Right.
I would always mess up my regular manicure and reaching for keys in your purse or whatever on your way home.
How do you get it off? Like
the gel?
Yeah.
They have to drill it off. Usually. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because it is solidified.
It is, yes.
But it has, like, if you have it on for months, it'll chip and fade.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And then what you might have to do, I think at home you could even, like, if it lasts that long, it might even just peel off sometimes.
Okay.
Depending on the tech and the brand of polish used.
Yeah.
So
okay.
There's that. And then there's, of course, the fake acrylic nails, which they first put like a fake tip on the tip of your real nail.
Okay.
And then they get the powder and the bonding water.
Okay.
The nail bonding solution. And when they mix the two together and they put it on your nail, it creates the acrylic where they shape it. And so that's
So they create it.
Yes.
This it's is like created. Sculpture.
Yes. Yes.
So there's something on the edge just to sort of protect the edge of your nail.
The
and then they build off of that.
Yes. It's not to necessarily protect, but to give it the length. They'll get like tips. It's called tips and it's fake tips. You put it on the edge of your real nail, and then they get the brush. They dip it in the nail bonding solution and then into the powder.
Yeah.
And then it kind of starts to goo up on the brush, and then they put it on your real nail from the very beginning.
Oh, from the cuticle.
Uh-huh. And then they just brush on it, and then they build up, and then they shape all that. Give it a like minute or two. It hardens. And then they go with the drill, and then they give you a nice shape.
Oh, right, right. Then they sort of sculpt it into a nail shape.
Yes.
Because it's kind of boxy or...
Or it'll be lumpy, or it might be like too much solution on one side or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so they even it out. Mm-hmm. And in this case, those got to be, what are they, an inch and a half?
I think so.
They're pretty long.
They are. And this is, it's a fill. So it's like I had nails before and the lady added on to it, my mm-hmm. nail girl. And a lot of times she won't let me get it a lot shorter. She'll be like, no, it's cuter longer. So she'll leave it. And it's just basically growing on its own and you're just adding to it.
Because you're adding from the cuticle part because that is where your nail grows out of, your fingers.
Yes.
I'm familiar
with
how fingers work. And so... Yeah.
Yeah. And depending on the nail artist, they do a lot of cool, crazy things with it. I think like a lot of nail art has changed over the years. Like this last nail set that I did underneath, you could see it's a different color.
Yeah.
Because it was a different color powder being used. So the powder was colored.
Okay.
Instead of just white, and then they paint. She just put like a colored powder. But this one actually has weed encapsulated in it.
Oh, the marijuana? And
yes.
The
dried marijuana in there. Oh, can we talk about that?
We could talk about the marijuana and the weed. Sure. Yeah. Why would you...
Right?
Yeah. Why would you want to waste good weed?
It's not good. No, it's she has like a little package with her where it's just weed that's just dry stress weed probably. Mm-hmm. It just gives it the look of weed. And that she puts it in and then she encapsulates it with the solution and the powder and then it's see-through and... You could see there is weed and gold flakes in your nails. I don't know.
It's a dream come true for somebody who wants to be reminded that they like to smoke some weed sometimes.
And you know what? When you smoke weed, you need to be reminded you smoke weed. Yeah.
Right. And gold flake, you're like, I'm rich.
Yes.
I don't know. People should know. There's a little gold flake in my... So you can make them translucent, obviously, and hide all kinds of stuff. Could you put your key? No, I'm kidding.
Right.
But you could put like chips and stuff, like an RFID chip.
Yeah, could do a lot of they do, and sometimes they might even do like you know how snow globe they do that in your nail, so
there's
it's
a little
water,
Oh, like when you get those pens that you turn them upside down and then it makes a naked man?
Yeah, and the glitter
Why
goes
that
down?
One? Yeah. Anyway, or the glitter goes down. And so you could shake your nails and it might have a little snowball in it or something. That is adorable. See, the most glamorous ones I've seen are the ones where they take your nails, existing nails, or possibly a build-on, and then they draw like different things in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do like a whole Christmas scene.
Yeah.
Like you could get the nativity scene on all 10 digits and you're like, there's a camel. There's a lamb. Look at that. The baby Jesus right there. Oh, I just flipped off the baby Jesus. I love him. And like he's a friend. And so, do you do that too sometimes?
I do. And this is the plainest style of nails that I've had in the last 6 months because my nail tech won't let me get anything plain. She's like, no, it's up to me. I'm going to do it. And then I was like, listen, let's just stick with this color for right now.
Yep.
But underneath it, like she's always doing glitter or adding things to it, drawing things. For Halloween, I had Halloween themed nails and she did like a spider web with a little spider at the tip.
That kind of looks really cool.
Yeah, it did. She's awesome at it. I've also seen where they, with the acrylic, they build stuff like 3D art. I've had like 3D flowers and roses on the nails as well, stuff like that. I've also seen a 3D penis on nails.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Have you ever seen a 3D? I thought the sentence ended at 3D penis.
Right.
I've seen a 3D penis, you guys. It's just one sticking in my face.
I built a 3D penis with a 3D printer.
What I want is to know is, of course, so the nails, how do you type? How do you live your life?
You know, honestly, I thought this was going... I thought you were going to ask, how do I wipe my ass?
Oh, that's... Well, and that is also something that happens at least hopefully twice a day.
You know how many people ask me that question,
though? You wipe your butt?
Yes. They look at them, and I'm like, what the fuck is it to you? Like,
right. Right. And how about this? How do you wipe your butt?
Right.
With your hand, usually, and then some toilet paper? Good for you. We got one of those spray things.
Right.
When we went to Vietnam, Andy fell in love with the bidet kind of thing. Yeah. And so we now have a hose in our bathroom.
Nice.
Even though it's the coldest water in the world. So he sprays his butt with cold water. I went back to
Wouldn't that make you jump up early in the morning spraying your butt with cold water?
Maybe. Maybe he's used to it at this point. And I'm just like, well, I went back to being an American and wiping my butt.
Yeah.
And but do you type much? Or
I do type.
Do you type with the nail or do you type with the pad?
With my fingers.
Okay.
Pad of your finger. Yes. And it is kind of hard on a keyboard, and I have had to take nails off before if I was like, because I was writing a pilot and I was like, I need to take these off and I need to print, like I need to type. But ironically enough, when I take them off, I can't text as fast on my phone, because on my phone, it's really fast. It's just click, 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 click,
yeah,
and it goes. And then when I take it off, I'm just like, ugh. Like it feels weird when you take it off.
It feels like you're missing something, right?
Yeah, and I feel like it's like the stilettos of the fingers almost.
They very much are.
Right? Like this it elongates your fingers and makes it look thinner. Well, like I don't know.
And do you so sometimes you take them off?
Yeah.
Did you have, because I mean it's got to be better to let your nails be just have some air for a second.
Yes, I agree with that. The nail techs would disagree with that.
Oh, would they?
Yeah, because they're like, it's dead. Like there, it doesn't breathe. Nails don't breathe. You don't need
to do
that.
How about the finger underneath that? How
right
about that?
Exactly.
How about we just give it all a break?
And sometimes I just want a break from it, and I'll take it off and it'll give it a nice little break and then put them on again.
Right, because it's kind of a fun thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's and getting to pick and choose what to do. Now, do you have a favorite set that you ever picked? Did you ever look back and go,
oh my God,
Remember when I had those?
I had pink chrome. It was pink, yes. It was bright pink on bright pink color, regular color nail polish. And then they get this like chrome powder meant for nail art. They put it on your nail and they kind of rub it with like a little sponge. And it gives it this like chrome tint to it. So it looks like it's a holographic pink chrome situation going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, every time I'm at the Comedy Store, it's a great conversation starter. They're like, what is up with those nails? Like they were like really just fast. And I'm like, yes, talk about my nails, not my set. Thank you. But it's that's definitely the chrome colors get me. I love the chrome.
It's actually an excellent distraction, I think, too, from like people who want to talk to you about other things. You're just like, here, talk about look what I did to my hand.
Literally talk to the hand. Like I don't here.
Exactly.
I also like the way it looks on stage, to be honest. When I'm holding the microphone.
Oh yeah.
I like it a lot.
Do that again.
Yeah. Right?
Oh yeah, that's
doesn't
cool.
Doesn't that look good?
That does look cool. It's got the good thumb business. That looks great, actually. So
right?
Yeah. I'm all in favor of that. That sounds great. Because pink chrome. I've thought about getting kind of fancier stuff when I go to my ladies who are always like, you don't come often enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I don't. But in other news, I'm here today. So why don't you just clean up my nails? And
they do great art on short nails, too. You don't have to get long fake nails to do art. They do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they do. I've seen people bring like their kids in. Mm-hmm. And the kids want to get something exciting on the one nail.
Yeah.
I remember back in the 80s, the long pinky nail was for cocaine.
Yes.
I remember that was a thing. And then you jam it up your nose and have cocaine on your nail. And I was like, I don't want to be any part of this whole package.
You know what's so weird?
Yeah.
Well, I'm born in 87. So I wasn't around for the great cocaine situation.
The first
80s.
Big.
Right. But a lot of Armenian men have long pinky nails.
To this day?
Yes. And I've asked, and one day I asked my dad, I was like, Dad, like, what is this? He doesn't do coke. I know he doesn't. He's not cool enough. And I was like, listen, what is up with that, like, with the pinky nail? Yeah, he goes, well, sometimes you need tools, and the tools are too big, so you just do it with your nail, you know? Like, and he's trying to play it off. And I was like, really? Is that what it's? And he goes, okay, it's also good for picking your nose. And I was like, oh, Dad, gross.
Just admit you have done coke, and right, you are nostalgic.
With your gold pinky ring.
Right. My dad has a diamond pinky ring as well. And well, I don't know what it is with Armenian dudes and pinky rings and gold chains. And my dad likes a nice big watch. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, no, we get it. You're very successful. But the nail is weird.
Yeah. That, the longer the nail, the more successful the Armenian man. Yeah,
that feels very 80s. Let it go. Mm-hmm. It'd be like still having a mullet. Yeah. And you got to let that one go, Pop. And so you were born in 87.
Yes.
So your dad is probably my age, actually. But because I'm 54. And
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would have been, that's a classic Coke kind of moment.
Yeah.
And did he come to this country like right before then, or?
He came, they came in 1979, like he was like 16, I think.
Okay.
Like 15, 16.
Right. So just like 10 years earlier, he'd only been a little bit less than 10 years.
And
so.
I really can't see him doing coke though, to be honest. Like he recently found out I smoke weed and he was just like, oh my God, like I didn't. He's like, he said this to Armenia saying, he goes like, if it was a good thing, I would have been doing it myself. I was like, you don't do yoga. Like, what do you mean?
Right. Yeah, that does feel like not an Armenian saying. That sounds like a justification. And I'm working on a new t-shirt of all of my dad's sayings with a picture of my dad in the middle.
Awesome.
And it's gone into production, so it's going to look really cool. But the picture, one of my brothers was like, you can't give him that shirt. He'll wear it every Sunday to church. He's going to want to hand it out.
Funny.
You're breaking. This is going to be such a pain in the ass to me.
What are some
of
the sayings you have on the shirt?
Well, he's got, there's always more money. There will always be more money because there has to be. It makes a lot of sense if you have six children.
Oh.
And it's a lot of, never say no without a number, right? Which you don't turn down a gig. You say, I would love to do that. And then you pick a ridiculous number,
mm-hmm.
Like three times anything you've ever made. He's like, you know what a good number? $11,000. And then you say, I'd love to do that. I'm going to need $11,000. And then they say back to you, oh my gosh, we don't have $11,000. Then you say back to them, well, thank you so much for thinking of me. You know, if your budget ever goes up, keep me in mind. And then he said, very important you say this, but know that my prices are always rising. Because the thing is you don't want to do it. You don't want to do the gig. But if you do end up doing the gig, you make a giant bag of money.
Yes.
And so I tried to do it one time and I called him. I said, it didn't work. And he said, well, how much did you tell him? And I said, $3,000. And he goes, everyone has $3,000, Jackie.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm about to have $3,000, but I have to go to Montana in the winter.
Oh, and man.
I have to drive 5 hours.
You should have said $11,000.
If I would have said $11,000 and they would have said yes, I could have hired someone to drive me.
Yes.
I could have done any number of things.
I tried that one time too. Also, it didn't work. And
did you pick a too low of number?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So we live and learn, right?
Yeah.
You got to never say no without a number. He's got one of his lines that I do in an old joke is we were talking about the new mosque. There's a mosque in my tiny town.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a Catholic church. It got desecrated and then reconsecrated about 4 years ago into a mosque and a school. And so I called him up and I said, how's South Milwaukee, Wisconsin handling the mosque, Dad? Mm-hmm. And he goes, fine. Most people get it. Some people are idiots, but most people understand that it just means 30 years from now, the place is going to be crawling with lapsed Muslims. Who cares? And he is not wrong. He is completely and entirely correct. Because it used to be a Catholic church, and there used to be six Catholic churches in the South Milwaukee.
Oh my
There's
God.
Currently two. And the rivers run with lapsed Catholics. So there, I'll show it to you afterwards. I'll show you the art. And because the Jenny Fine did the art, she did a couple other pieces for me, and she is such an amazing artist. She took this picture, and she really captured the look on his face, which was kind of amazing. And it's just, it's a classic sort of Armenian twinkle old dude kind of look.
Yeah.
And you're like, you nailed it. And she was like, well, I just traced it. And I said, well, I don't think so. Like, there's more to it than that. Anyway. But my dad gets his nails done.
Really?
Yeah, but he just gets them cleaned up right. And buffed.
Does he get a pedicure?
I don't think so.
Okay. I've seen men get pedicure all the time. And yeah. Manicures. And
yeah, they just like to clean up their hands and feet.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a really good idea.
I agree. I like that a lot.
It's a cleanliness it's that I appreciate.
It is going to take a minute, though, I feel like, for some of the younger Armenian guys to start doing that.
Right, for some reason they don't. Yeah, my father's very dapper.
I love that.
Yeah, he likes a nice outfit, and he has, you know,
he's a dandy.
He's a bit of a dandy. Andy, my husband, gave him these snakeskin shoes that he wears at Christmas sometimes.
Nice.
That he got from Italy.
Oh, my God. He would love the store Little Paris.
Little Paris?
Yes.
Is that?
It's on Allet. It's actually in the same plaza where my nail place is.
Oh, really?
It's on Allet and Sherman Way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here in the valley?
Yes.
Allot?
Yeah, Allet. The street is Allet and the... Cross and Street and Sherman Way. And it's a plaza with like a water store and a bakery.
Of course it has a water store. There's nothing more chilling. Whenever I see a freaking water store, I'm like, what do you people know?
Right?
What's wrong with the water? And how do you spell Little Ollies?
Little Potties.
How do you spell Potty?
Paris. It's Little Paris. I like to say it with an accent.
Oh, say it with an accent. Yeah. And
they sell like name brands. They sell those shoes.
Okay.
Track suits, all kinds of stuff. It's great.
It's an Armenian haven.
Yes, it is.
Is what it is.
Yes, it
and,
is.
Little Paris. Well, good for you, Little Paris. On Sherman Way, there's a great place. I get kofta there. I get Armenian and
Sherman
Monty.
Sherman Way and what?
Probably Coldwater. There's a deli, an Armenian deli that I get pastrama and kofta and Monty. If I buy, I don't buy Monty because I'm like, just fucking make Monty,
right?
And but I don't want to make kofta because kofta is fiddly for me.
Yeah.
So and then next to it is an Armenian grocery store. It's literally, I think the name of the strip mall is Little High. Or Little High Shopping Market or something like that.
Yeah,
H-Y-E.
Yeah.
And it is, when you find a good strip mall, I like to try to use everything in that strip mall.
Right. To like make a one stop and just go in.
Yeah. I'm hoping, like, because strip malls in LA, in my opinion, are sort of like New York used to be in the 80s and the 70s, where there are these tiny privately owned, there were a lot of little businesses and you could find like a gem. Right? Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, you go to a strip mall, you're like, oh, it's just a shitty strip mall. You go in and then all of a sudden you've had the finest Peruvian meal of your life.
Right.
You're like, what are you, where, why isn't this famous?
Yep.
And they're like, just go away.
Yeah.
And, they're just owned by like a mom and pop situation. And there's the place where I get my nails done. It's on Coldwater and Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nail place. And I go there because there is Tony's Mexican is next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony's Mexican is one of my favorite Mexican restaurants. But it's Baja Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Tony's family was from Italy. They moved to Mexico.
Okay.
They immigrated from Italy to Mexico. Tony immigrated from Mexico to the United States. And it's not an Italian Mexican situation. It's very, but it's like no lard. It's very clean, and it gives you a free little dessert at the end. Quite nice little fruit with some creme fraiche.
Mm.
So very delicious.
I gotta check that out.
Tony's Mexican. So I tried to use that whole mall.
Yeah.
I used the nail place. There's a Krav Maga, like fight, Israeli fight place that I've thought about taking.
Just because it's in the plaza.
Just because it's in that plaza. There's an incredibly, I did one time eat at the Chinese restaurant there.
Uh-huh.
There's also a Chinese restaurant. Terrible. Terrible Chinese. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
On the corner right beyond the nail salon, there's been a yogurt place, a shaved ice place. They, it cannot
it keeps closing
sustain.
And opening. Yeah.
Yeah, a juice place. But there is, on the other side, a place called American Haircuts, which I got my hair cut there once for $17. Mm-hmm. Terrible idea. do you know what you get with $17? A $17 haircut.
Yes.
So, and then next to that is kind of a shitty donut shop. That
money laundering scheme.
Very possibly. Yeah. But they have coffee.
Yeah.
So I get the coffee, I go get my nails done.
Yeah.
And then I might go to Tony's Mexican for dinner.
Yes. I want to try Tony's Mexican, but I gotta say some of the best Armenian food places is in the valley.
Oh really?
I feel like, yes, especially at those little strip malls.
We've weeded off, but I love this because I need a good Armenian, like I get my latmashun over on Oxnard and Fulton. There's a place called Sweets.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not even called Anoush. It's called Sweets. And and it tastes almost exactly like my great aunt's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they kind of nail
nice.
It. And it's because sometimes they do, like, it's latmashun. So you might have your own spin on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could you have a 120-year-old Turkish spin on it? Because that's what I would like to eat. And so.
Oh, my. There is a place right at the nail salon that I work at. It's called Hikes Pastry. And they have the best latmashun, I feel like.
Oh, well, really? Or they have very good latmashun.
It's very good latmashun.
And
yes.
It's H-I-G-S?
H-A-Y-K.
H-A-Y-K.
Hikes Pastry. But they have everything. They have cakes, pastry, and it's actually the same owners as the water store, so it's like right next to it.
Why would they?
Yeah, right?
Where's the big cross street spot? Is that on Sherman Way?
It's Allitt and Sherman Way, yeah.
Oh, that's that same strip mall.
Same strip mall. So that's where it's
at. I'll go there after we're done recording. Because I have one lot machine left in the house. And yeah, I like.
Do you make Monty?
I do.
Okay,
but I not.
How do you
in,
make it?
Not in years. Okay, but it's essentially as far as I'm concerned, it's the same filling that I use in sarma, which is called dolmades.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the sarma's Turkish word for wrap,
mm-hmm.
And it's just grape leaves, right?
Right.
So and I make meat grape leaves,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I was raised on.
Right.
And it's just essentially it's just ground beef, parsley, onions. Probably rice. Garlic powder and a little bit of rice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think it when I put that filling in the manta, and I call it manta, but I don't do the rice.
I think
it's just the meat.
Right.
Just the meatball, essentially. Mm-hmm. Tiny meatball. Make it in the shape of a wing nut. Bake 1,000 of them. Eat them like popcorn to irritate yourself because you're like, I wanted soup.
Right.
And but it's, do you make it?
My grandma used to have this big thing from like Armenia. It was Soviet times. It was like this steel, like metal thing with a bunch of little holes in it.
Yeah.
So she would open the dough and then we'd put one dough on top and then put meat little things in the holes and then open another dough, put it on top and then just pop the holes. So you'd have like little ones. And that one is pilmeni. It's a little bit with the Russian spin on it.
Yeah, yeah.
The manti is more Turkish, I feel like. And then the pilmeni is a little bit more Russian. And then, of course, if you go to a restaurant and get pilmeni, it's this big ass just like dough with meat in it.
You know that Lebanese Israeli place on Woodman near Moore Park in Ventura called, I think it's called Carnival?
I haven't had that.
It is, they have kofta there.
Okay.
But the koftas are almost softball size.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a deep fry on them.
Oh my God.
And they're delicious.
Yeah.
And, but you get two of them and they're a nickel. And you're like, holy shit.
It's really,
Because a kofta is bulgur.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bulgur has been mixed with the meat and then stuffed more meat inside of it.
Yes.
It's like a shell of it. So just so the Rangers can hear though, because kofta's delicious.
Yes.
And, but there's a place called Monty
mm-hmm.
on Ventura. Have you been to that one?
I've been to the one, actually it's not the same, but it's called Monty Factory in Glendale.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I haven't been to the one on Ventura.
It's nice. It has like a little garden area that you can sit in the back and, mm-hmm. and be served back there. So it's kind of a more dressy, so this pastry shop is a good idea. This Hikes Pastry.
Yeah. What's they have fresh latmashun there.
Oh, that's good.
So that's why I like
Do they
that.
Run? Because my sweets, the sweets place, they run out by like 1.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, noon or 1.
Yeah.
So they're like they start selling it around 10:30 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
They're done by the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And they're like, come back tomorrow. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
This Hikes usually has it throughout the day, and they have like a bunch of other stuff as well. They make like breakfast sandwiches and things like that, but
The place where I get the Bastrma, that place sells kofta in a bag, right?
Mm, they're usually like frozen.
They're like 10 of them for $10.
Yeah.
And then the Monty is, they'll sell a bag of that for, I think, like $15.
Yeah.
Because it's real labor intensive, all this peasant food. You're just like, I'm going to spend all day making, like, my grandmother made the most amazing budeg. And it was this phyllo dough, just the baked. I like the fried better just because it was greasy and delicious. But the baked stuff, she was really, really good at it. She was really good at phyllo dough work.
Yeah.
And she also made really good baklava, but none of us liked it.
As kids, you guys didn't... Okay.
And so she was just irritated as all hell. Because she's like...
It's a lot of work.
It's the thing that, that I'm known for. That I make really good... none of you want... Yeah, why don't you all fuck yourself?
Just hurting her ego, eating it.
Right, exactly. Because literally, it was a big part of her self-esteem was the food.
Aww.
And we didn't know.
Yeah, Bjoriks are so easy, though. Bjoriks are so easy to make. I make it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you do?
They have frozen, like, phyllo dough with the squares, and you just cut them diagonally, get some feta cheese, usually the picnic one with the red top.
Okay.
Get that, and then put, like, egg white in it, mix the feta and the egg white, keep the yolk on the side, and then you could put, like, cilantro, whatever you want in it, if you want some extra stuff, and then put it into, like, the dough that's cut diagonally, kind of like a triangle, and then fold it over and do the little knife's fork thing to give it a little ridges on the side, and then put the egg yolk on top to give it color when you bake it, and just pop it in the oven for like 375 for like 20-25 minutes.
Oh, that does sound
super easy.
One time I did phyllo where I did the baked where it was many, many layers, and then there was cheese and then layer and cheese and then layer. That was the stuff she made that was amazing.
Yeah.
And one time I made it, but I bought the phyllo dough. And I might have told this story before, Rangers, because it's a good one. Anyways. But anyway, so I make it. I pop it. I bring it. I make it at the house. And my grandmother and my stepmother and everybody tries it. And they're like, it's very good. You know, they really liked it. My grandmother, she was like, it's good. It's good. Did you make the phyllo dough? And I said, I did not make the phyllo dough. And she said, next time, just make the phyllo dough. It's not that hard. And my stepmother goes, Ma, she has a job. Anyway.
I know. My grandma was like that, too. Like, I would make food for her, and she would eat it. She was like, this isn't how I make it. I'm like, well, no shit. I made it for you.
Did you just watch me prepare this item? Okay. I cannot exactly
duplicate.
Very
picky on that.
Very picky. Yeah. But delicious stuff. Like, do you make kofta?
I haven't. That's a little bit more, I feel like, complicated. And plus, it involves the meats, and I get kind of nervous around...
Raw meats?
Yeah. I love to eat it, but I don't know about making it.
Right. My brother Phil makes the little... I can't remember what they're called. They're tiny meatballs that were like kofta.
Che kofta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just called che kofta. You're right. Yeah, they were called che kofta.
Those are so good.
They're delicious, and he can make hundreds of those. He's like, I don't have a problem making those. Those there's very little
with the raw meat. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just roll them into tiny marble-sized things, and then you have soup for days. And he actually has an Azerbaijani family living with him right now.
Nice.
Because the son came, is going to medical school in Minneapolis, and he needed a roommate. He had an extra room.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, hey, my parents are immigrating. And Phil was like, well, you should find another place to live.
Right.
And he's like, could they stay for a couple of weeks while we looked around? And Phil was like, yeah, sure. Because he's an incredibly mellow dude.
Yeah.
And so they come in, and he's like, oh, I love them. They're like his age.
Yeah.
And he's like, we cook together, and him and the dad. The mom is a doctor, but she can't be a doctor here because she can't. She needs to pass all the it doesn't transfer. But he's
that's
psyched.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's loving this family. He's like, you guys don't have to move. You can stay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so now he's got people to hang out with. And
does it ever get political?
He loves in the beginning with the son. He likes to bring up the politics of it, and the son's like, But I'm not playing that game. Which can, okay. And Phil can be a little bit of a button pusher.
Okay.
But he gets it. You know, okay. He's just like, hey, man, they lived through that shit. You yeah. are here looking at it. Because when we were kids, my dad was never political.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. My father, very much an Ent, Lord of the Rings, okay. was no one was on his side. So he okay. was like enormously practical. Okay. So the only thing he feared was that the Turks were going to come and take him away. So, and because he was a child and my grandmother uh-huh. was still afraid. So,
yeah.
So he inherited that from his parents. Anyway, but the weird thing about when we were kids, because there's several different branches of the Armenian church.
Mm-hmm.
And were you raised in the political one?
I was not. I don't think I was. Was it political?
Tashnak?
I didn't go to the Tashnak meetings or things okay. like that. I might have gone to the church that was associated with the political meetings,
but okay.
I didn't go to a camp or anything like that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because I remember my dad, because there was that big drama,
mm-hmm.
the Armenian, the shooting back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Talat Pasha, I think they shot him. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, some
something like that, right? Yeah.
Some muckety muck in the church got shot by another muckety muck. And it was just Armenian on Armenian crime.
Oh, shit. No, that's not the one I'm talking about. Wow, I didn't know about this.
It was just like in the 30s or 40s.
And this was...
it was the split of the two churches.
Was this back where you're from?
U.S. Here. It was in the United States, if I remember correctly.
No, I mean, like, was it L.A. or...
Oh, no. Okay. No, it was in Chicago or New York or Boston. It was in, like, Boston, maybe.
Wow, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I should find out more. You know what I'm just going to do? Ranger's just going to put out something very exciting and then not have all the information. Look it up. There was an Armenian, like, he wasn't the Catholic ghost. He wasn't the Armenian Pope, obviously. But he was... like the head of the Eastern Diocese.
Okay.
And he was shot by a militant pro-independent from the Soviet Union Armenian sympathizer.
Wow.
Who wanted a separate Armenia, you know? And everybody wants a separate Armenia. Everybody wants it. And the Soviets said that we could have a separate Armenia. And then they're like, not just yet. And then so wow. it became co-opted into the Soviet Union. And there was this, you know, there were... and there still are, to some extent, in Turkey, is Armenian
yes.
Activists and terrorists and people doing this type of thing. But when I was a kid, I was told that the Tashnaks were very politically interested in a separate Armenia.
Yes.
And my father, being my father, was like, what do I care? What, we're going to move back? Did you want to be a shepherd or do you want to be the wife of a shepherd? No, we're not going anywhere. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
And so he was like, he doesn't have a horse in that race, essentially.
Right.
And so he was like, we'll go to church
right.
and that'll be nice.
Okay.
And so he was a big fan. It still does. Still goes to the church every week.
Yeah.
Does not sit through services.
The entire thing.
No. Yeah. He'll go get a cup of coffee.
Yes.
I haven't sat through a service in probably 15 years because I show up and both my brother and my dad are like, it's a perfect excuse to go to Panera across the street, get a cup of coffee. Come with me. And
oh my God. I remember being a kid and going to church, sitting through the services. I just wanted to die.
An hour and a half.
It's ridiculous.
Did you go to Sunday school?
I did. I got slapped in Sunday school.
You got slapped.
By the teacher. Yes, because
let's hear this drama.
Because we were talking about the Bible, and she was explaining how the Bible was written by so many people passed down. And my question was like, well, how do we know somebody didn't add something to it or take something away? Because that was my first thought. Like, why are we?
Because you're alive and your brain is attached to your brain. What?
And she was like, oh no, like, how dare you? And she was just like, pet on its pogge, like, and just little tap on the mouth type, like, pow. Yeah.
I have to tell you, my sister and I were, when we were in Sunday school, I was probably 9 or 10, she was 11 or 12, and we stayed in Sunday school forever because you got to skip half the service.
Yeah.
And so the teacher was a new teacher, new Armenian woman who had come to South Milwaukee, Wisconsin to the church, and she was teaching us, and she said something along the lines of, when your siblings are mean to you, or when you are mean, God smites you. And he smites you immediately. And then she told a story of a boy who was mean to his sister, walked to school, got hit by the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And my sister and I burst out laughing. And because we have four older brothers.
Right.
And
they're still alive.
Right. We're totally. And they're still alive. They're thriving. And my sister literally got kicked out of class that day because, well, because she was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, what? She said, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
That can't be how it works because we see that people get away with all kinds of injustices or something.
Right.
I forget. My sister, enormously, like, super didactic as a kid. She was like, no, and I have sources on this. I don't know if you've seen the encyclopedia. And so she was kicked out of class. We're driving home with my dad from church, and he's like, so how was it? I was Sunday school or whatever. We tell him the story. He laughs, and he goes, who is she? And he goes back, and I shouldn't teach much longer.
Right.
And because she was super grumpy.
Right.
She was a grumpy teacher.
Yeah, yeah. So was mine. I don't know. Maybe it's just that's the requirement to be a Sunday school teacher for an Armenian church, just be grumpy.
Right. You're just like, no, we want it to be. Because my dad, I remember at one point he said, you know, the Armenian church isn't that religious. It's one of the things I like about it. And
I mean, he's not wrong. Like.
He's right. It's more of a social situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a community situation.
Right, especially for Armenian communities outside of Los Angeles. Like, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which is practically like being born and raised in Armenia.
Yeah.
And like, I'm surrounded by Armenian stuff, Armenian, you know, stores, this, that. But then when I went to Vancouver recently,
okay.
Canada.
Yeah.
And their main thing is the church.
Yeah,
they have to have. Yeah, and I realize that's the thing that's holding the Armenians in the community together is the church.
Right, which is what in Wisconsin, where I was raised, that's all we had. There was the church in South Milwaukee. There was a church in another part. There's another church in Milwaukee. So there were two churches. There was one in Racine, and then you had to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of Armenians there, but it was all the church, and it was all. I mean, it literally, the great thing, and I remember my dad saying that, and I was like, the great thing about the Armenian church is that it's all in Armenian, and I don't speak Armenian. So it could be about anything.
Yeah.
So as far as I was concerned, it was be like the nice man in the picture and go get your dad some coffee.
Yeah.
And because there was a lot of step and fetch it if you were a tiny girl child.
Oh, of course.
Right. Please go do some dishes.
Yeah.
And please go get some coffee. Please go get some other foods. But what are your favorite? I need to know because, and I'm going to have you back to talk about the Korean thing.
Yes.
But what are your favorite Armenian restaurants in the valley?
Oh,
are there? Because you were saying that. Because you're saying that some of the best Armenian restaurants.
It's usually like the bakeries, honestly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When you go and buy them, I've noticed because the ones in Pasadena, I'm not that fond of the bakeries in Pasadena, but the ones in the valley are pumping out some amazing fried foods and, you know, fried dough stuff or like lahmacun, that kind of stuff. But I do personally, I love Carousel.
What's Carousel?
Oh my God, it's so bad. I was born and raised here, and I have. Terrible accent. Carousel.
Oh, Carousel.
Yes.
Oh, that's
there's one in Glendale and one in Hollywood.
Yes, Carousels.
Yes.
So
the one in Hollywood is the OG one that's been there from like since the 70s, I think since 75.
And that's in a strip mall in the middle of Dingbat land. And Carousel. Yeah. And then
that
Zanku.
Really good. Yes, Zanku. And then there is what other Rafi's place in Glendale. Yeah. Even though it's more Persian, but it's amazing. I really like Rafi's.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've been to Rafi's. I think Maria Bamford's, the day before the wedding rehearsal dinner was held at Rafi's.
Nice.
And it's so funny because we go to Rafi's and Maria's mother made me explain what the food was. at the wedding. She was like, Jackie's Armenian. Tell the people what they're eating, Jackie. Because they're all from Minnesota.
Just narrating their eating.
I was like, well, that's rice. Have you seen pilaf before? It's a rice pilaf.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, it's but Carnival on Woodman has an amazing rice pilaf, quite honestly.
Okay.
It's
I gotta
really
try that.
And the kofta's really good and the lentil soup is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's just some good work being done. When I was just in Romania, we went to this restaurant and they had sarma. They had meat sarma on the menu and I ordered it and then the guy goes, "That's just at Christmas. It's a lot of work. We're not making
it." Yeah.
And then the But the regular Dolmades that is sold everywhere is the vegetarian cold kind.
Which I gotta say, the way I was taught is sarma is the vegetarian cold one.
Okay.
And then dolma is the hot meat one that they you roll in the grate and you cook it.
Weirdly enough, dolma, when I was a kid, was stuffed green bell peppers.
Yeah, or that, or yeah.
Yeah, but it was also stuffed with meat.
Yeah, yeah, so the same thing.
Right, and well, my grandmother called the meat ones sarma, and the vegetarian ones yelanchi.
Yelanchi.
Sarma, which means liar. She felt ripped off that there wasn't any meat in it. It might be Armenian. Yeah. It might be Turkish, rather.
I've heard. It sounds familiar. I think I've heard it before.
It's but I mean, it's completely bananas. So, we only have, it might be all I could take, though, of the Korean thing. Because we've been doing
exactly.
Food.
So it's a good segue.
This is a good segue.
Yes.
By the way, I am talking with Mary Basmachian, and it is at MaryB626 on Instagram and at MaryB_comedian on Twitter.
Yes.
And so, and she's going to be in Vegas on the 29th. Is that now? We don't know. So, but go look at her Instagram anyway. So, but what is the Korean food thing that you're watching? Is it ASMR? Why are you...
You know what? It's mixed with it.
Okay.
It's mixed with the ASMR because of the chewing sounds. And some of them will have like certain like
what's
special...
it called?
It's called mukbang. MUKBANG. It started in, I believe, South Korea. That's the cool one, right?
Right.
Okay. So South Korea in 2010. And it was meant for like, it was like pretty Korean girls eating on camera, like, but it's copious amounts of food.
Right.
And because they could do that. And I just wish I could
do
that.
There's no like, food eating videos coming out of North Korea.
Right.
Sadly. Those poor bastards, man.
But anyway, it was initially meant to provide Korean men with like a sense of companionship. So while they're eating something, they could watch someone eating and talking.
Oh, that feels so like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And then like, I forget what, it's like Twitch, but it's something like that they have in their country. It's like a platform like that where like they can donate money or coins or whatever that it is to the person eating. And they're like, oh, take a bite of the dumpling. And then they take a bite of the dumpling, like stuff like that.
Oh, they could literally like sort
of orchestrate
the...
Yeah, so it's like a live, they have a live chat going. This is how it started, okay? But it's changed, it's morphed, and then it came to America because that's what we needed here.
Oh my god, more food videos.
Oh my goodness. So it got really big on YouTube. People are making a lot of money eating lots of food. And I just want in.
Well, I literally, when you told me that that was one of your dorkdoms, I was like, well, what the hell is it? So I Google it, and it was just a video of just some woman just, and it was, no, it was a guy. It was a guy eating noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
yeah,
what? And then I looked it up. There was like another thing I could click on, and it was like, how are they making money on YouTube? Because it's not a live Twitch kind of thing. It's not a...
Yeah, it changed from that to the YouTube.
Is it like a Patreon kind of thing now?
Well, YouTube, when you get views, when you're past a certain amount of subscribers and views, you make money off of the views. And these people have millions of subscribers. They're getting millions of views, and they're where they at where they could make money like that.
Because the ads just show up or something?
Yeah, it's with the ads. And then sometimes they have Patreons and they do that too. So it kind of goes together.
But you lose the, hey, take a bite of the dumpling angle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You do lose that. But I think it's kind of also like a fetish.
Oh, right. You know? So people are just watching it. They're like, I want to watch. Andy has a friend that he worked with at PlayStation who, she was very thin and she was very pretty. And she would take pictures of food. Mm-hmm. And when she would get hungry, she would look at the pictures of food.
Oh my god!
Instead of eating,
I don't know.
I don't
about
want
that.
Any part of that. I'm like, okay.
I do crave noodles after watching some of these videos. I'm like, oh my god, I want some now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, I will try. Like, it's more like the sounds.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I am kind of ashamed of it that I watch these videos because people are like,
talk about a safe space, man. Knock yourself out.
Because usually people hate the sound of chewing.
Yep.
And it's a lot of that. And especially now that it's in America, it's gotten to like where it's like 2-3 pizzas. It's an entire bowl of ranch. and they're dipping the pizza in there. It's turned really gross now.
Right.
And but there's like different versions of this.
I watch cooking shows, and I do like to watch people eat the food that has been cooked.
But that's like that's regular. It's just a regular amount. Cool. But this, like, there is guys. The Nikocado Avocado is a famous YouTuber.
Okay.
Who does this? But he does it like in a very gross, dramatic way.
Yeah.
And he'll like
American guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's just like he's constantly eating. But even sadder is like you see the year because he's been doing it for like 4 years. 3 years now, and you see how what he looked like before and what he looks like now. He's
but it's
gained,
just not healthy. Yeah.
No, not at all. He's gained a lot of weight. There's also a lot of overweight YouTubers that are doing this. They're getting a lot of flack for it. It's also kind of going into the field of eating disorders now, because now it's binging disorder. And I've worked at an eating disorder clinic before, and like a lot of the things that these people display in their videos coincides with like eating disorders. So YouTube is currently working on that, I think, where they're trying to figure out a way where to demonetize these channels so that they're not making money anymore and they stop these. But
it's like food porn, I guess.
Yeah, totally. It is food porn.
Okay.
And some of my favorite ones is actually like authentic Korean mukbangs. I like watching
Like the older ones or the
not they're still still Korean. Yeah. There's a lot of Korean YouTubers that still do this, and they're eating like really cool Korean food that I don't know about. And I don't know, I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah. It's like being in the ground floor of a band. You're like, no, I just want to watch the original version of this. I'm a strictly ballroom.
It's a fine palette of mukbang that I have. I don't watch.
I'm not watching creepy mukbang. Yeah. I'm watching good mukbang. That is hilarious. Because I would watch someone eat like, cause there's shows on Netflix of like, was a street food show that I really liked. That was interesting. And they went to India and they went to Korea and they went to, I think somewhere rural in, not Somalia, but an African nation that I am spacing. Mm-hmm. And it was street food created by the local moms and grandmas. Mm-hmm. And then they would show the eating, and the cinematography was amazing. How was the cinematography on this thing? Pretty grim?
Well, it depends on who the creator is.
Yeah.
For a lot of the Korean YouTubers.
Yeah.
It's very popular to have a lot of filters in Korea on your face, like when you're doing videos or pictures.
Oh, so
a lot
of times, the aging away?
Yes. They take, so it doesn't look like it.
Snapchat?
And sometimes you even see it. Yeah. And sometimes when they're eating with the chopstick kind of bends when it comes to the mouth. And you're like, wait a minute. I think it's made to like make the jawline a little smaller looking, a little more petite looking, dainty looking.
Sure.
So I think like there's that for the Korean side. And then for American side, it's just literally what they have to do is they lift the food up. So they put it on something like this and the camera's here. So it looks like it's more food.
Right.
Or like, you know.
Sort of like a drafting table with a bit of a tilt to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they do that.
So you can see all the food.
All the food, and it makes it look so much bigger.
Yeah.
And they just go to town. Some people have a nice background, other people don't. Mm-hmm. And other people just really honest. Trisha Paytas, she has, don't ask how I know this, but she has a YouPorn page, I believe, and she eats naked.
Okay.
She's just butt naked eating noodles, pizza, fettuccine, like whatever.
Sure.
Whatever.
Sure.
And I'm a little mad that I want to do that, you know, but
you can do it.
I mean, can I?
You could. It's like I had Sovereign Sire on the show, and her she's a porn actress.
Yeah.
And I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I saw her do a stand-up show, and I say like I do. If you want to be on the Dork Forest, you can be on the Dork Forest. And then she emailed me and scheduling, you know, worked out. And her dorkdom was the Spanish conquistadors in Florida.
Huh.
It was the Spanish conquest of Florida. That was her dorkdom. We talked about it the whole time. And she gave me her links and her video and her website. And after it posted, I started getting emails from people going, hey, you know, there's a lot of a noodly.
Oh,
she's super naked in a lot of the stuff. And I was like, oh, I did not know what she did besides stand-up.
She didn't talk about porn in her stand-up?
She didn't.
Okay.
She talked a little bit about getting laid, But a lot of people do.
This is special getting laid.
That's this is all bendy.
Yeah,
like she's super fit. Yeah. And but she has a Patreon or a fans only page or something like that.
Fans only, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems to be. And Emma Arnold just started a Patreon or a fans only kind of thing, and she was going to do poetry and possibly eat, and she said, "I'm getting a lot of feedback from people because it can be $100 a month that you can donate." That she's like, you can give me $10 bucks a month.
Yeah.
You can give me $100 a month. And for $100 a month, you get another level. And I'm getting a lot of questions from guys going, is there going to be nakedness? And I'm like, yeah, of course there is. You're paying $100 a month. which made me laugh. I don't know if you've ever seen Emma Arnold stand up, but it's quite funny. They're both very good comics.
Yeah.
And they're more than willing to get nude.
Yeah.
And what do you need me to do? Yeah. All right, give me some money.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you could do your nails.
Naked?
You could do other people's once you learn how to do people's nails.
Yeah. All I really wanted to do was do like a stand-up show while doing someone's nails, have like a little microphone thing like this like do it. But I don't know about naked. I'll think about that one.
Right. You could add another layer.
It's $100.
Like, you could use this we're wearing gaming mic, headphone mics, and you could do nails like this and tell jokes.
Yeah. I want to
do. Is that what you
want to
do?
Yeah.
Oh, do that sketch.
Like that.
I would watch that sketch on. So, okay. By the way, we're getting close here. Let me just remind people, it's Mary Basmajian, and it's at MaryB626 on Instagram and at MaryB_comedian on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. So, because I would totally, there are things that the food stuff is the most soothing stuff to have on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm trying to write, when I'm trying to, just clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the food stuff is the best idea.
Just
because there is something, I don't know if it's ASMR or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it's the most, it's the easiest thing to get stuff done because you don't have to actually watch
Pay attention. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have it on, do you just have it on your laptop or do you throw it to a big screen?
I don't have either. I have a phone.
Oh, you just got the phone?
Yeah, I just have a phone and I watch everything on my phone. I've been doing that for years. And sometimes I'll fall asleep to mukbangs.
Oh, interesting. You know that Martin Scorsese would like you not to watch The Irishman on your phone.
He doesn't have to worry because I don't want to see it.
Me neither.
Everybody's going crazy. I'm like, I don't care.
I don't care. There are things that I like that nobody else
likes.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And
I'm not, I don't give a shit about Disney Plus. I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't.
Well, and you don't have to.
Right.
Because the good thing is I have Disney Plus, and it's kind of, I find it kind of awesome. I've come full circle. Back in the 90s, I used to, I took a bunch of videos, VHSs, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because my friend John DeBoer had VHS taped all of Cheers.
Oh, wow.
He hooked up his VHS to a tape player and just recorded the audio off of the VHS, and then he listened to it in his car in his tape deck as he drove around and did stand-up.
Wow.
Well, I don't care about Cheers, but I do care about the first three Star Wars and two of the three Indiana Jones at the time and a bunch of Frank Capra movies. So I took a bunch of movies and recorded them onto tapes, and then I listened to those as I recorded. It turns out with Disney Plus on my phone, I can play it in my car,
mm-hmm.
and it's a movie playing on my phone, but I don't have to look at it.
Yeah.
Just the audio.
Yeah.
And it turns out I've seen Doctor Strange a dozen times.
Yeah.
So if I just listen to it, that's good times.
Yeah.
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 I know where we're at.
See, that's awesome.
Look, Mordo just got introduced.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I like about, but so you don't have a TV with Chromecast or anything?
No.
Because you could get that mukbang big.
I know. I've thought about that. I actually haven't had a TV since they went digital, like in 2005, I think.
Do you see our rabbit ears? Those are HD rabbit ears, that cord that's going
yes.
up toward the kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an HD rabbit ear.
Huh.
So we get, And TiVo sponsored the Dork Forest once.
Nice.
And so they gave me that DVR.
Sweet.
So I can record regular TV.
Yeah.
Like
nice.
Just like a VHR.
Yes.
But a VHS, but it's a DVR. And then so we don't have anything, but we have all the other, you know.
Do you have, so you have cable?
We don't have cable.
Okay.
That's just rabbit ears. So okay. It's just like MeTV and ABC.
But you
and
have
NBC.
Online stuff like Hulu and Netflix.
All of them. It's a golden opportunity to get $11 from me a month.
Yeah.
We have Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then my sister has Hulu. So. My brother has HBO Go.
Yes.
And nice. We have Disney Plus.
That's great.
We also have CBS Access because of Star Trek. And,
nice.
And then I think there was something else.
Yeah.
Amazon
yes,
Prime.
Yes, Amazon Prime. My friend has that and I use her password.
That's the way to go. Because that's what we should all be doing.
Yeah,
it's,
right?
Because it's television. It should, to some extent, kind of be free.
And if you end up getting all of them, it costs more than cable.
Right, right. But it you do get to cherry pick it a little bit, which is what we've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And
South Park actually did an episode on it last night? Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
About the cable fighting the Disney Plus, or like all these streaming services. The cable guys get pissed. Like, who set up that cable for them to have internet access, for them to get that streaming services? We did.
Oh, that's
and it's
funny.
The cable guy that like goes and has to like mess up their cable so that they start watching cable again. I don't know. But
yeah,
I love South Park.
Yeah, I don't ever.
That's really pretty, by the way.
This wreath.
Yeah,
we have a wreath, you guys, because it's Christmas time.
Are you gonna put up a tree?
We are gonna put up a tree, but we're there's probably on Sunday.
Nice.
Like, because it's mid. He likes to go right around December 7th or 8th. You know, celebrate Pearl Harbor Day the way it was meant to do, by putting up a tree. Mary, it has been an hour.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the Dork Forest.
Thank you for having me.
This was fascinating. I learned all kinds of things about nails and some good restaurants and mukbang, which I give it a shot, but only the Korean.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for being on the show. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?